The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Thursday, April 22nd, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our next 60 minutes of news talk, information, interviews, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're here every weekday at 1 p.m. Pacific time with replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9. Our podcast is also available through iTunes. Just search for the Normal Daily Audio Stash. And joining me right here in the studio, the engineer and maestro, Ganja John.
Hey, everybody.
And as you can tell by the cameras, our special in-studio guest live and direct here, coming down from Astoria, Oregon, to join us here in the studio, Cannabis Carrie.
So thrilled to be here in the Ogrotten Production Studios.
Oh, it's Rolla J
Studios.
That's right. We renamed it. Yes. Very nice.
Rolla J Studios. Nice. And that has to do a lot with what we're going to be talking about today, because today is all about Normal. We just had our 420, of course, the general holiday for all of us in the cannabis community. And Normal does great fundraising on that day through our main website. If you logged on to normal.org, you probably noticed we had a whole different site up in the Normal staff, Normal Show Live player was there. We had about 10 times the number of live viewers and listeners as we normally do. So we're going to continue that spirit here for the rest of the week. Here at Normal Show Live, we've got a special deal just for the listeners of this show as far as our 420 pledge drive. And Cannabis Carrie has a little bit more details on that. But it's basically they can join for 420 just like they did on 420.
Right. Yeah. The verbiage is not up on the website. And we'll put up a link pretty soon. But you just have to manually go to the donate button, type in 4.20, and it'll take you to the sign up page, and you can be a member of Normal for an entire year for $4.20.
Yeah, we really want to make that really blow up so that we can show folks back in Washington, D.C. that Normal Show Live has got a lot of influence out there and that our listeners really care about ending adult marijuana prohibition. Now, Carrie joins us also for our hemp headlines, which you get to right after this first break. So, what do we got coming up today, Carrie?
Well, there's a little movement on the L.A. dispensary story down in California. We're going to talk about that. And some news for a Wisconsin resident. It's not great news, but we're going to cover that as well.
Okay. All of that coming up right after our first break here. Also, make sure to check out our advertisers, the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, Homegrown, all sorts of people, Herb Age Designs that are helping us out, John Lucy, and so on. We've also got our normal pledge drive, our music for Rockin' Thursday. We're going to play some Cottonmouth Kings. Alan St. Pierre joins us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the pledge drive, and I've got some CBS poll information from California coming up next.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello,
I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Nearly two dozen medical marijuana collectives have sued Los Angeles to block enforcement of a new law that could shut down their pot dispensaries. 21 collectives filed two lawsuits on Tuesday, seeking a preliminary injunction before the law takes effect in June. The suits challenge the ordinance because it closes dispensaries that weren't registered with the city 3 years ago. The collectives have business licenses, but they either didn't register in 2007 or opened later than 2007. They claim the law arbitrarily discriminates and denies the collective due process. A spokesman says the city attorney's office hasn't reviewed the lawsuits, but it's ready to defend the ordinance.
Well, this is something they've fallen behind on for quite a long time in Los Angeles, coming up with some reasonable regulations for their dispensary industry. And, of course, now we've got however many hundred of dispensaries are out there, and yet the city council wants to limit that to, I believe it was 70 was the number at one time that they were talking about. Well, you know, we'll see how this lawsuit goes. This has been just a long, drawn-out battle over the cannabis businesses in Los Angeles. It'll be interesting to see how this goes, especially once we hit November. And we've got the Tax Cannabis 2010 ballot initiative that people will be voting on. A lot of people are concerned about passing that initiative and how it might affect Proposition 215 and people's or patients' rights as they currently exist with the dispensaries and collectives and the right to grow at home and so on. From what I understand, the Tax Cannabis initiative merely removes criminal penalties for adult possession and personal growing of up to a 5x5 space. It says nothing about changing Prop 215 or taking that out. So I don't exactly see what some people's problem is with that. And again, if we can get this passed, if we can get initiative passed in California and make it legal for everyone, I can only see that as being a benefit to all of these dispensaries, a benefit to all these organizations that want to work in the cannabis industry. There'll be so many new jobs that will be created from this, and we'll be saving so much money from not constantly arresting and locking people up.
The Wisconsin medical marijuana bill that has gained much support over the last few months will not be passed this session, according to government officials. The Office for Representative Mark Pocan, Democrat of Madison, confirmed the bill would not be placed on the calendar for the legislature. Pocan is one of the main sponsors of the assembly bill, which would allow qualifying patients with debilitating medical conditions to use marijuana to alleviate the symptoms of their condition. In a statement, he said, quote, "It's disappointing to many of us, myself included, that the legislature did not pass medical marijuana this session. But as I have assured the patient advocates, our efforts enjoyed many successes this year, and we came closer to our goal than ever before. The fight is far from over because this issue is far too vital for too many people." Gary Stork, president of Wisconsin Chapter of Normal, said he was also very disappointed the bill would not be moving forward because they had a lot of people that had their hopes up that it would get done this session. Stork added that he will be getting signatures and organizers are working to get the word out to more people. He speculated many legislatures may be hesitant to support the bill because they have false perceptions about the drug's dangers. He added many legal pharmaceutical drugs are much more harmful than marijuana. So not good news for Wisconsin, but they will fight on.
Yeah, such a shame there. The Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. I've had the chance last year to actually meet Jackie. She's been on the show a couple of times. And there's a very real chance for these people that are fighting for these bills, these activists that are out there working to pass these laws to help themselves and help others, there's a very real chance they won't be here the next time around. There's a very real chance that many of the people that are waiting for this, the next time will be too late. And that's a sad thing to have to say, but it's absolutely true. And one of the unfortunate things about this as well is that Wisconsin is not an initiative state. A lot of people don't realize this, but there's only 26 states in the United States that have the power of citizen initiative, where the citizens can put out a petition and get something on the ballot to vote for. Wisconsin is not one of those states. Now, right next door in Michigan, they are an initiative state. And of course, in 2008, they passed their initiative for medical marijuana with 63%. They passed it in 83 out of 83 counties. So it's got to just break the hearts of Wisconsinites to know that right next door, it's passing, that in their own state, if it was up to the voters, it would pass by a wide margin. But because of the timidity of the state government, of the officials in the Senate or the Assembly or the governor who are afraid of looking soft on drugs or sending the wrong message or what about the children or whatever scare story they might have heard about California that isn't true, aren't going to pass it this year, and it may be too late the next time.
Well, this isn't really a news story, but I did want to remind our listeners out there that today is Earth Day. We celebrate Earth Day. I believe it's the 40th time we're celebrating mm-hmm. Earth Day. And I want to remind all the cannabis growers out there, inside and out, to please be kind to the environment. And remember that some of those chemicals you might be using aren't the best choice. And also, I wanted to give a little shout out to hemp. We don't talk a lot about hemp. It's something that's really important to me. And it shouldn't even really be mixed in with the marijuana movement. It's two completely different things. But guess what? Hemp is illegal because marijuana is illegal. And it is up to us to change that. And we absolutely need to do that. It's a crime against humanity that hemp is not legal. And it's up to us to pick up the baton and run with it.
Yeah, and we can definitely do that. You know, and again, NORML stands for reforming marijuana laws regardless of the THC content of the marijuana. So in the case of industrial hemp, we're talking about cannabis plants with less than, I believe it's 1% THC, some cases less than 0.3% THC. And one of the reasons why the THC level has to be so low in those industrial hemp plants is because cannabis is illegal, right? So when they make hemp products and they're growing hemp, even in the foreign countries that are growing it right now, these foreign countries are restricting the THC levels of their hemp because of the United States' requirement, this test pledge thing where it has to be less than 0.3% THC, so that they can ensure that nobody could ever possibly test positive for eating, you know, whatever hemp product, you know, hemp flour or whatever product you might be using to ingest hemp, or maybe a topical lotions or creams, whatever it might be. They have to keep the THC level extra low so that nobody would fail a drug test for illegal marijuana from using the hemp products. So foreign countries now are making this low-grade THC hemp. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, the hemp plant, when it is grown naturally, will grow between 2 and 3% THC. It's enough THC that if you really worked at it, you might cop a tiny buzz. You probably get a headache, die from smoke inhalation before that, but you might get a small buzz from it. You might test positive on a drug test. But the THC level of 2 to 3% acts as the sunscreen for the hemp plant. It also allows the hemp plant to grow stronger and longer and thicker fibers. So we are purposefully, in all these foreign countries, growing inferior hemp because marijuana is illegal. It's just like Kerry said, you know, because marijuana is illegal, hemp is subject to all these ridiculous restrictions. The idea that the Drug Enforcement Administration would be in charge of banning something that's not a drug is ludicrous on its face. And when we look at this Earth Day celebration, 40th year of Earth Day, I always think, Kerry, I always think back to Jimmy Carter. Remember him telling everyone to put on a sweater and turn down the thermostat?
Right.
And you'll remember all the hippies saying we need to go to biodiesel and we need to go to solar and all the earth-friendly stuff. And they were right.
absolutely were.
The hippies were absolutely right, and hemp is a big part of that. Hemp makes an incredible carbon sink. I was reading this article. I can't remember which website I was getting it from, but it had to do with paper production in this country and how when you read about paper production and it's, they say, you know, we're producing a recycled paper good. A lot of times what the recycling part of that is that when they ran the first run through the press or the mill or whatever it is, I'll admit I don't know anything about how paper's built, but when they run the first run, there's these trimmings that come off the edge of the machine. They take those trimmings off these brand new trees, put those back through a second time. They consider that recycling. Even though it's fresh trimmings off a brand new cut tree, that's recycling in them. So you have to really look closely to see for post-consumer recycled content. Post-consumer. That means it actually got made into a box or a bag or a paper or whatever, and then it got trashed, and then it got recycled, and then it got used again. And even then, when you look at recycled stuff these days in the paper industry, it's like 20-30% post-consumer recycled goods. There is no need to cut down a single tree for paper if we were growing hemp. There is all the juice boxes the kids are drinking out of, every newspaper you read, all the books we make, all the printer paper you goes through your little inkjet printer, all of that stuff, cardboard, packaging materials, all of that stuff could be so easily made from hemp. And we're talking about hemp that's going to rejuvenate and regrow four times a year and sinks long tap roots and re-energizes the soil and acts as that huge carbon sink to take carbon dioxide out of the air. Four times a year versus the tree farms that they plant for paper that, you know, once every 20 years they're getting the fiber off of that.
If that.
And on top of that, just to get past paper, we think about what we've been going through over the past 8-9 years with wars in the Middle East, which are based on the fact that we've got to have some sort of control over what's going on with the supplies of energy and oil in that part of the country. And our soldiers are going off there dying on this mission, however you might feel about it, good or bad, but we're over there because of oil. We could be growing our way out of this. We could be going with industrial biofuels. The diesel engine was made to run on hemp seed oil. No more blood for oil. Let's grow bud for oil. That's what we got to do. And when you grow that oil seed crop, and again, to get the oil seed crop from hemp, it needs to be that 2-3% THC. The low stuff that they'll let you grow in the foreign countries now won't produce enough seeds to make it worthwhile to get the oil out of it. We grow some of that 2-3% THC. We get the oil out of the seeds. And what's left over after you press the oil out of the seeds, you can make into flour, into food, and into medicine and building materials. Every part of the hemp plant can be used. And like Kerry says, the fact that we ban this is an affront to humanity. It's a crime against humanity when we're poisoning our air, raping our earth, and we've got this perfect plant to take care of almost every human need, and yet we ban it because it kind of looks like another drug. You know, banning hemp because it looks like marijuana is like banning powdered sugar because it looks like cocaine. It makes no logical sense. It's like a Wookiee on Endor. It makes no sense.
And it is pretty interesting that here in 2010, that because of medical marijuana, marijuana is more legal than hemp now.
That's true.
2010. I was supposed to have my rocket boots. I mean, let alone my marijuana legalization. Come on. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, where's our jetpack? Where's our transporter? Exactly. And that's a good point, Kerry, that medical marijuana now, you know, here in Oregon, we can grow up to 6 mature and 18 immature plants. I guess we could grow hemp plants. They don't have to be medical. I mean, they say just plants. I mean,
interesting.
but who's going to grow 24 hemp plants at a time and make any sort of economic headway doing that?
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
It's got to grow in big, huge fields. California, Montana, Rhode Island, Maine, all these places in America now that have dispensary systems, people can go in and buy psychoactive marijuana. But if they want to buy a wallet made out of hemp, that hemp had to come from Canada.
Right.
It's just insane.
And it is kind of interesting with the hemp movement, because I obviously do the news stories here for the show, and I really want to do more hemp stories, but the media just doesn't really cover it. There's not a lot of stories out there on hemp. And I really feel this burden as a cannabis consumer that it's really our duty to push this message into the forefront, because it's a cross we have to bear.
Well, and you know, with on April 15th, we lost the emperor of hemp, Jack Herer, and that was his lifelong thing.
Absolutely.
Is that hemp can save the world.
And when you were talking about all the things that you can do, I think this might be one of the hurdles that the hemp movement has to get over, because it does so much. You sort of sound a little Looney Tunes when you're saying, oh, it's so magical. It's food. It's fuel. It's lotion.
If you plant it in the back, it'll grow a beanstalk and take
right.
you to the giant's house.
I think it's hard for people that don't understand the issue to take us seriously when we say, no, this plant really has this many benefits.
Yeah, it's hard to digest the fact that it's food, it's oil, it's, you know, it's everything.
Fiber, medicine.
Yeah, everything.
You know.
So that's a big hurdle that I hope that we can work on at Normal as we do.
Anything that you can make out of a tree or a barrel of oil, you can make from the hemp plant. That's the basic way to think of that. Make sure you check out The Emperor Wears No Clothes. If you're listening to this and you haven't read The Emperor Wears No Clothes, you need to go get a copy of that. Jack Herer's book from 1985, 11 different printings, bestseller. It's available at jackherer.com, although I don't know if the website's up. Somebody was telling me there was problems with the website. We'll get you more information on that as it becomes available. Oh, it's so good to have my homies here. 20 after the hour, Carrie and John in the room. We're going to take a 420 break. We hope you do too. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that, but finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Normal Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles on my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic jubilees and travel to a better place. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place. And
it's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our pod-safe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show, accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and JohnDoeRadio.com.
If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio.
Blast off. John Doe with your Groovin' Thursday tune for Normal Show Live. What else is there to say about the Cottonmouth Kings about to drop their 11th studio album? The Kings have built their world to their own specifications. Subnoise Records, the parent company of the Cottonmouth Kings, has always been fully independent and have built up an impressive list of talent and branched out, creating different labels for different genres of music, all the while being fully successful. And did I mention fully independent? No doubt the Cottonmouth Kings will always hold a spot at the top of cannabis culture, and 420 brings another album from them. Long Live the Cottonmouth Kings is out on 420, and you can pick it up along with some sweet special deals if you pre-order from the Cottonmouth Kings website, cottonmouthkings.com, or just pick it up on iTunes this Tuesday, 420. Make sure not to miss an interview with Daddy X on this week's John Doe Radio, available at johndoeradio.com. And y'all have a safe, happy, and incredibly stony 420. We're going to do it big in the Mile High State this weekend at the Cannabis Crown in Aspen, where Normal has a fundraiser for the Aspen Legal Seminar. And we will also be at Civic Center Park in Denver on 420, a rally I think that's going to make national news for the amount of people attending. And for the premier keynote speaker, none other than the man himself, Alan St. Pierre. We're with you no matter where you are. It's the Cottonmouth Kings. Song's called Party Monsters. You heard it. A Normal Show Live. Till next time, I'm John Doe. See ya.
We are party people. We are what you call self-made party monsters. So welcome to the ball. First of all, let's welcome y'all. The 13th annual Cottonmouth Ball. Round here, anything goes. Whippers, tippers, and trickity. Face bone, ratty of bones. SC cats and fat bone low. Sun goes up and comes back down. We got a little bit of everything floating around.
Need a party monster, set in the bar. Dedicated to substance abuse. Take a whiff of my jaw. Yeah. To be the mix of a bunch of different ways. To get down, cop a buzz and then spray. From the liquor that I'm pounding every day. And right now I'm partied up on the way to the ball. So let's play. You take a shot, I take a shot, you take a shot, we take a shot. Hey!
We are party people. Party people. We are what you call, what you call, self-made party monsters. Welcome all y'all. We are party people. We are what you call, what you call, self-made party monsters. Welcome to the bar.
A special guest has just arrived. Please direct your attention to the red carpet. Here comes none other than the most sinister monster of them all, Tech Nine.
All the homegirls love me at Hooters, a straight Uber. MC searching for that cooter. They know my road, oh, rude is a straight shooter. So we dipping if she packing the fast. Baby, all around the world, I'll be looting. The same time as Susan is right up off the ocean. I mean ocean. I feel like a couple of cold ones and I'm in motion. Party potion, then I'm poking. Tech and Nina getting that loop, very roller. Haters in the end, they tryna shoot their Ebola. Cause I got they women getting loose every hour. I get wet cause I make them say, oop, areola.
We are party people. Party people. We are what you call, what you call, self-made party monsters. Welcome, Mario. We are party people. Party people. We are what you call, what you call, self-made party monsters. Welcome to the
let's wreck this show. You know we can't in a beat down by the jogging rain.
Let's wreck this show.
You know we can't in a beat down by the jogging rain.
The other said, hell yeah, we could be the one to bring the party back in ya. So let the bass drop and the temperature rise. Tequila on your brain is vibrating in your thighs. Cottonmouth Kings do the shit worldwide. See me on a plane with my mile high eyes red as then my shades no surprise. What you expect from the cell of a guy?
Hell of a guy. You can hang with your hands to the ceiling. Everybody party hard, don't fight the feeling. I'ma put it out there that I can party harder than y'all. Bringing heat to the raw, I'm a monster.
Now we are the people that's controlling the wheel. And we are the people that be making the deals. Yes, we are the people that be up in the hills. Finding fields of mushrooms, psychedelic appeal. Now I'm Johnny Drake, I'm the king of the block. I got a 7-fold van and a 12-way song.
Right about now, let's show an extra special chunk of respect to the monster making all this debauchery possible, the host of the party, the extraordinary Daddy X.
Right down my brain, high on cocaine. More pills of drinking champagne, smoking mad weed, chewing on shrooms. I got a few issues that I need to work through. Nobody's perfect, we all got flaws. I love loose
swim in an old school car. Pull down bars, sleep, pass through. There's a killer on the loose and the beat goes boom, boom, boom. You can find me blinked out with my homies. Laid back up in the ride, all the blues get on me. Flex on them in the flash, we be cold flocking. 100 yard wrapped ass, we forever rocking. All out, all in, yup, yup, back at it again. Nobody but doing the powers of the crown, the skin. Be tougher than Teflon, we fighting the wind. The levels are pressed on to make your head spin. We are party people. We are what you call, what you call. Self-made party monsters. Welcome, Mario. We are party people. We are what you call, what you call. Self-made party monsters. Welcome to the
Let's
bar.
Wreck this shot. Let's wreck this shot.
Oh yeah, Cottonmouth Kings, loving that new stuff. Party Monsters off the new album that dropped on 420. Let's Thanks, John Doe, for all your hard work there. I love hearing the dirt ball in that too. One of my favorite all-time rappers from Bend, Oregon. All right, we're going to get to your community calendar now.
But I don't care. It's 420-something.
That's right, the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Coming up today, Thursday, April 22nd, Washington Normal is having a panel discussion and the movie Marijuana, It's Time for a Conversation, featuring Rick Steves, at Eastern Washington University at 6 o'clock. So check that out. You can go to wanormal.org for more details. On Friday, April 23rd, begins the THC Exposé. This will be the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Los Angeles Convention Center in downtown Los Angeles, California. I will be there all 3 days, tabling and speaking at this event with California Normal. We'll have the stream up as soon as I can get it set up, and I will leave it up all day. We'll take the laptop around. We'll do a lap around the exposé. You can see what's going on there in California. They're expecting tens of thousands of people and hundreds of exhibitors. I'll get you as much detail as I can all 3 days at the THC Exposé this weekend at the LA Convention Center. Also taking place on Friday, April 23rd, Kalkaska County Normal's having their Adopt-a-Highway pickup in Kalkaska, Michigan. So check out minormal.org if you want to get involved with that. Washington Normal at Washington State University is having their Greek Week celebration Friday, April 23rd, 4 o'clock. And Kansas City Normal is meeting at the Beaumont Club on Pennsylvania Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri. This is with Seed Love, Afro Zep, and the Blue Rhythm Band. Also, we've got the North and Superior Adopt-a-Highway pickup taking place on Saturday, April 24th. This is in the North and Superior regions of Michigan. Again, MI Normal can get you all the information on that. They're also doing the same thing in Macomb County for the Macomb County Normal Highway pickup. Also on Saturday, April 24th, Oregon Normal's having their twice-monthly cardholders meeting at the Village Ballroom, 700 Northeast Deakin in Portland, Oregon. These are for Oregon Medical Marijuana Program cardholders who are also members of Oregon Normal. There are clones to be donated to people, as well as medicine, plus speeches from the various leaders of Oregon Normal, giving you all the information you need to know on following the law and keeping yourself safe in the state of Oregon's program. Oregon Normal cardholders meeting. For more information, check out ornorml.org. Kansas City Normal is also having their public meeting in Kansas City, Missouri on Saturday. Check out kcnormal.org for details, or you can go to you can call 888-KC-NORMAL. They'll get to tell that toll-free message line number for you. And on Sunday, April 25th, the memorial service for Jack Herer, the Emperor of Hemp, is taking place from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday, April 25th, at 11500 Sepulveda Boulevard, Mission Hills, California. Everyone is invited to attend on Sunday, April 25th at 1 p.m. This is organized by the Herer family. I will sneak away from the THC Expo to make it to that memorial and bring you my reports from there as well. More information on all of these events, including the website, links, email addresses, phone numbers, maps, and more, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
NORML, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists who are peaceably assembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, and personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we take some time to talk to the citizens in local NORML chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism.
Well, even though it's not Monday, we'll talk a little grassroots activism here, and specifically, we're talking about 420 on April 20th, the legendary stoner holiday, so to speak. We have a money bomb. We have it at NORML where people can join NORML for $4.20. And it's something we wanted to continue here on the show for the rest of the week. My co-host Carrie here is a veteran of public radio and knows all and has been telling me about doing pledge drives all week. And so that's kind of what we're doing here, is to try to explain why it's important to donate to NORML and get people involved.
Right. Well, you know, we have a lot of great listeners, and I think that they really want to have something to do. Yesterday, we just barely mentioned it. This really isn't too much of a pledge drive. We're only going to do this today. So people that listen to the show regularly know that we don't regularly ask for money. But this is a great time of year to get involved. If you're not already a member of NORML, you absolutely should be. We have this really great plan that you can join almost for free. I mean, really, that's the price of a double latte.
Yeah, $4.20.
$4.20. If you'd like to join as a regular member, there's all kinds of great swag that you can get. So it's almost like buying something cool that you can't get in the stores. Yeah. I know for a $100 membership, you can get one of those cool Rick Steve bags.
Oh, those are great.
That I love.
All hemp.
But really, we just want to encourage people that have been listening to the show for a while, and maybe people that are already members, that this week NORML really looks to get a little shot in the arm from all of our members all over the country and actually all over the world by asking them to throw a few more dollars into the hat. So if you're already a member, let's say you've already paid your $40 and you want to help us out, you know, go online and hit the donate button and give us a $10 bill. We would love it. We don't have billionaire backers here at NORML. We get a lot of our funding from everyday people like me and Ganja John and Russ. And I know that, Russ, I couldn't really afford to give as much money as I'd like to give to NORML. I mean, they've done, obviously, I'm sitting in this chair, so they've done wonderful things in my life. But I can afford to give $10 or $20, and if my $10 or $20 is linked with your $10 or $20 and, you know, a couple hundred other people out there, today we get to be big money donors for NORML. It feels really great.
And, and you can always know that when you're donating to NORML, you're donating to the Cannabis Consumers Lobby run by, for, and about cannabis consumers. Like you said, we don't have a couple billionaires that throw us millions of dollars.
This many times you have debunked the NORML is rich lawyers guy story. Yeah. We know that that's not true. People that are listening now know that that's really not true.
Yeah.
We need everybody to get together. This is how we pool up together. Lobbying is very, very important, and this is what it takes. It takes a few bucks.
I wanted to bring someone on the line to help address one of the points, and that is Carrie was talking about how she communicates with people about donating, and one of the things that comes across all the time is people saying, well, I don't want to be on a list. I don't want to get on no government list. I don't want anybody to know. So on the line here joining us from Washington, D.C. is the executive director of NORML, Alan St. Pierre. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ. Hey, Gary.
Hi.
We wanted to address that question that people have so often. They worry if they donate to NORML that somehow the government's going to come knock on their doors and take away their freedom and so on. Give us kind of an overview of what happens with NORML's donations, the process, and how safe and secure people's privacy are.
Sure. Well, it's a very, very logical concern, and well, it should be. In America and in the commercial world today, your ID and your identification contact is very valuable information from everybody who wants to steal it to make money, to potentially the government who would want to track it down, etc. So, in the almost 20 years I've been at NORML, here's been our policy. We do not trade or sell any data whatsoever with any other entity, and we haven't since at least 1990. We do have one current agreement in place right now with the Tax Cannabis 2010 campaign in California, where I told them any of the donations that came in online or where anybody wanted to give us their email address, that we would share that with the Tax Cannabis folks for their purposes of soliciting them at later dates and getting them involved in their viral campaign. And as I've made it clear throughout the year, this is the major priority for the organization, is to get California law passed towards legalization. So this probably won't be a surprise to most. Outside of that, unlike most of the other groups that are out there who actually do trade and buy and sell these lists amongst themselves and amongst other like-minded organizations, in some cases not too like-minded, you wonder, how did I wind up on this list? We don't do that.
Great.
So the other thing is, here at NORML, we take care of all the data in standard professional ways in compliance with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. And unless somebody has great, incredible criminal mischief or the government wants to really push hard on the envelope, they could do so. But in all the years I've been here, thankfully, nobody's privacy has been compromised. Nobody has been harassed or harangued. Nobody has been audited by the IRS because they made a donation to NORML. And I think we should all be thankful for that, as one of the great things about living in a society where you can participate in activities where, in some cases, and there aren't many left, where you are actually in opposition to the government.
Mm. You know, another thing that I always like about our finances here at NORML is that our tax records are online. You can look. It's very transparent. You can see exactly where the money is going. But for people that aren't fond of looking over government tax forms and trying to parse what they mean, can you give kind of a breakdown of where people's money, when they donate to NORML, where is it going? I saw someone in the chat room that had a concern. They said with lots of nonprofits, there's so much that goes to overhead. There's so much that goes to things that aren't activism. Tell folks what they're donating to when they donate to NORML.
Sure. When the data goes up this year online, pardon me, we will probably have about $900,000 between NORML and NORML Foundation posted, and the numbers break down something along this line. We spend about $80,000 a year on rent here in Washington, D.C., at K Street, two blocks from the White House, big full professional office, the headquarters. Second is our employees. We have 7 full-time employees and 3 contractors, 5 of which are part-time. That constitutes about 30% of the entire annual budget, or roughly $280,000 to $300,000 a year. Nobody is paid over $80,000, which happens to be me. I've been here for 20 years. The lowest paid employee is around $14,000 a year for half-time work. And benefits included are just simple standard vacation and health insurance if you work more than 30 hours a week. And other than that, all other monies are poured into the programs, as we call them, the web page, the bandwidth that we're using right now to talk all across the internet, all the infrastructure that it takes for the web page, all the different programs and publications and research and litigation is done throughout the year is wrung out of the other $400,000 a year.
Excellent. And, of course, that's why we're here at Normal Show Live. I'd like to remind everyone that there's so many benefits that you get from Normal that we don't charge a dime for. You know, we don't charge for this podcast that or this live show that people are getting, you know, every day, weekdays, getting replays, getting able to download it on their iPhones as, a podcast. When I mm-hmm. go to these events, like I'm going to the THC Exposé this weekend, I was in San Francisco last weekend, I'm streaming live from those events. People, you know, who can't fly there or don't want to be seen or want to stay private can still enjoy these events on a remote basis. We have our normal conferences and our legal seminars where the legal mm-hmm. seminars especially, I'd like you to tell people about how that helps them in the long run by educating our attorneys to defend us.
Well, there are 585 lawyers in the National Legal Committee at this point, and these individuals are where the rubber meets the road. There are over 850,000 people arrested in the United States every year. These men and women, among that 585, represent many hundreds and thousands of the victims of prohibition. Many have been doing so for 35 or more years, so they have an incredible amount of experience. They are true, most of them are true activist lawyers. They're well spread out around the country. And we hold at least two or three legal seminars a year so that they are up to date on the best of practices out there to keep people out of jail, to minimize their consequences when they interface with the criminal justice system, to do so at the fairest price possible and ethically. I mean, it's, in many respects, the National Legal Committee is a great anathema within the law community. If Normal is successful, as we are, in trying to reform the laws, many of these individuals will lose very large amounts of their income in ways much more profound than those of us who actually do the activism, because we don't make six-digit figure salaries, and we're not caught up in the conflict of potentially arguing for the prohibition to stay in place so that they could make more money, quote, doing the right thing, representing people at trial. So, I remember Lee Berger, a Portland, Oregon, Normal legal committee member in great standing, saying one time, when it comes to legal committee members, they're in it to win it. They're in it to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's very rare when it comes to lawyering in America or anywhere when it comes to against their self-interest. So it's a unique group of people. And just like the way doctors and accountants and others all have to be kept up to date every year about the best of practices, we do the same thing with the lawyers.
Mm-hmm. And while the Normal Legal Committee is very important, I think sometimes people might get the wrong impression of Normal. I hear that old joke acronym, National Organization for Rich Male Lawyers, as if being a mm-hmm. marijuana defense attorney is the way to riches in the legal committee. But the thing I always think of when I think of Normal is not the 500 or so lawyers, but the 5,000 or so activists in the local chapters all around the country, none of whom, as far as I'm aware, are making any sort of pay for what they're doing. Those are the people that represent Normal, and you were just out in Denver for 420 with those people. Give us your thoughts on the activist base of Normal and how that's, at least in my opinion, the most important part of Normal.
It is. That is the grassroots of the organization. We have support a mile wide and an inch deep. And while that on K Street in some minds might not sound significant as compared to when you have a gazillionaire donating money, gazillionaires can only make one vote.
Yeah.
They only get one vote. And when you have real grassroots support in a democracy with a little d, you really have a lot of sway. And that's what we've got now after 35 to 40 years as a whole in marijuana law reform movement, and Normal as its most noted brand name, if you will. So the chapters and the activists are truly where the rubber meets the road for changing the laws, not just stopping the consequences of the bad laws in the way that lawyers do, like triage, that surgeons, sort of stop the bleeding before the patient dies. That's effectively what the lawyers are doing. But when it comes to the activists, they are trying to cut the head of the beast off and stop the prohibition outright.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that risk the raids when they stand up and speak at the town meeting. They are the ones that risk the harassment from the local media or from a vindictive politician or law enforcement. These are the individuals that make the true self-sacrifices of spending 7 to 10 hours a day working and then turning around and going right out and spending another 3 or 4 hours of their own money and time and effort, often away from their families who desperately would like to have them around more, to be engaged in this activism. And they do it with little to no compensation whatsoever. Of the 140-plus chapters that are out there, very few individuals draw anything even close to a salary from their efforts. Most individuals are just 100% full-time volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so the normal chapter network, which began by not having that type of individual narrow cast funding, when normal law spoke Keystrop the first time around in 1980 when he resigned, and Hugh Hefner and some others who were basically big funders of Keith more than they were of the organization. That's one of the problems we can sometimes get when organizations develop a cult of personality around the individual. I am the 8th director of Normal. There will be a 9th director of Normal. And so the organization is what's most important, not the individual. And so Normal in the 1980s realized, hey, it better reconstitute itself as a grassroots organization. And John Getman can be largely credited to moving in that direction by having and working with a nascent group then called CANN, Cannabis Action Network, which had a young undergraduate named Debbie Goldsberry yeah. and Doug McVeigh and a bunch of other, what we would say back then, kids, who today are leaders of this movement and running some of the biggest, progressive, most ethical cannabis buyers clubs in the United States.
Yeah, Alan, this is Ganja John, and I just wanted to mention, you know, I come in here every day and I do this with Russ, and Russ and I travel around together, and I don't get paid anything. The only thing I get paid is feeling good about myself, and that's one thing I want to stress to all these kids on the chat out there and kids who want to get into this movement is I feel really damn good about myself, and yeah. that was something that I didn't have before. And, you know, if anything, Normal makes me feel good, so, you know. Just wanted to throw that
well, I would thank you very much for your efforts, John, and to speak to just public interest. You know, this is great that we're all coalescing around cannabis, but I can just say with the deepest resolve, be involved with public interest. Everybody has interest in something. It's fishing or the arts or politics or the environment. It doesn't matter what it is. Give of yourself, and you will get so much more back.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of Normal, calling us from Washington, D.C. And again, check out the website. You can go to https://secure.normal.org/join, and that's where you can get online and join for 420. You'll have to actually type in the 420 in there, or you can type a bigger number if you like. We'd like all the help we can get. Alan, thank you so much for heading up the organization and for joining us here on this Thursday show.
My pleasure. Thanks to all, and bestie in Portland.
All right, thanks. We'll see you later. All right, we're coming back after these messages. We got to take a short pause for the good cause. We'll talk a little bit more about fundraising and what your donations to Normal really do. I've got some specific stories to tell you about how Normal helps you.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 53 after the hour, and we're not really ranting. We're doing a little bit of pledge drive work here still. We're going to talk about this. We just got off the phone with Alan St. Pierre, and we talked about the Normal Legal Committee, and we talked about the Normal activists. I wanted to give you some concrete examples of how your donations to Normal have helped people. First of all, on the lawyer front, Normal Legal Committee member Rob Corey out of Denver, Colorado. Anybody who's living in the Denver area knows how much work he has done on behalf of medical marijuana patients and defending their constitutional rights down there. I know of at least two stories where he's gotten pounds worth of medical marijuana returned from the cops to the legitimate patients, right? So just from a PR standpoint alone, not to mention the people getting their medicine back, just from PR alone, getting to see police officers handing medicine over is just a beautiful thing. We've got Jeff Blackburn in Amarillo, Texas. In Amarillo, Texas, he was able to get a 53-year-old man who suffers from HIV/AIDS off of a possession ticket using a medical necessity defense in Texas, in a place that does not recognize medical marijuana, does not recognize decriminalization, where you can basically get a lot of prison time for a seed. The jury came back in 11 minutes to acquit this guy under Jeff Blackburn's defense.
Yeah, I should get a Nobel Peace Prize.
No kidding, for Texas, exactly. And Douglas Hyatt up in Seattle, Washington, another Normal Legal Committee attorney, defending the rights of organ transplant patients. He fought for Tim Guerin. He's fighting for another kidney patient up there in Washington so they can get their transplants, something John and I talk about all the time.
Very often we do.
Yeah, and he's also, Douglas Hyatt is the chief petitioner, along with Jeff Steinborn, another Normal Legal Committee and Normal board member. They are the ones behind I-1068 to legalize marijuana in the state of Washington. So the Normal Legal Committee attorneys, that's where the money is going. They are helping people out. Now, talking about Normal activism, of course, I'd be remiss to mention Madeline Martinez here in Oregon, who's put together the first cannabis cafe for patients in the state of Oregon, giving all sorts of sick and disabled people a place to rest and relax and network and meet others. We've got Cliff Duvall down in Waco, Texas, who's actually bringing the subject of medical marijuana to the mainstream media in Texas. We've got the founder of this podcast and show, Chris Goldstein, out in Philly Normal, who actually worked with the Philadelphia prosecutors and DAs to get them to remove the notion of a custodial arrest for marijuana possession in Philadelphia and bring that down to just a ticketable offense, a summons, rather than an arrest and a booking. Derek Rosenzweig in Philly Normal, working to bring out the statistics that showed in the city of Philadelphia that 80% of possession arrests were for African Americans. This is the real work being done by real people because of your donations to Normal. So I wanted to get that out, and I know Carrie's got more on this about how important
well,
the donations are.
Well, we just have a few minutes. I mean, we could literally talk for hours and hours about why you should donate to Normal. There's plenty of reasons. Full disclosure, I have always been, I considered a supporter of Normal because I knew about them.
Right.
And I've told other people, hey, donate to Normal, but I actually didn't do it until I got involved with the system. And it's very easy. It's very secure. We're just asking that today you go in, type a couple bucks, throw a couple bucks our way. And John was saying it feels good to be an activist. It will really feel good to donate to Normal and be part of this movement. I mean, this is how you buy a piece of it. Mm-hmm. We are going to get cannabis legal. You've seen that it's moving in that direction, and this is how you buy into a little piece of that pie by flipping us a couple bucks and keeping what we do, keep going. Now, people that regularly listen to the show know that a lot of the equipment that we do have is donated. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that a lot. Russ, you actually donated pieces of your colon.
Yes.
By eating spicy hot wings to get the computer. So I want people out there that are wary of charities, because this sort of seems like a charitable donation, that we are very, very frugal here. We try to keep costs as low as possible. We left Blog Talk Radio too expensive every month.
Too expensive.
We try to give you the best product for the lowest amount of money, and I know that a lot of you cannot afford to donate to Normal. I get that. I totally understand. So some of the people in our chat room and our regular listeners, I am challenging you to donate $8.40. So you can pay for one of your brothers and sisters that listen to the show regularly that might not have $5 in their pocket to give. So what we're really saying is here, for a little tiny bit of money, you really push Normal into a great direction. We paid for that Times Square ad.
Yeah.
That's not cheap. Not free.
We got to compete with all those big corporations that have all that advertising money to spend. We get 15 seconds of a cartoon on, you know, and,
right.
And that's, you know, big buy for us.
And Normal typically does not do this type of fundraising. We've never really had this platform before, but we would like to get a little bit of response so National Normal will understand that you guys are passionate about the movement. Normal has inspired thousands of activists, myself included, and we need to keep that going. We need to have enough support for all the chapters out there to do what they do so well statewide.
And, you know, if you feel bad that you can't donate money, and I know that some people are in situations that can't. I mean, look at me. I'm, you know, on dialysis. That gets a little spendy. And if you can't donate money, donate your time.
That's
Find
right.
your closest Normal chapter and say, I want to help.
Well, this is such a great opportunity because a lot of people, this forum leads us to a lot of people that are shut in or they're in very small rural communities and maybe there just isn't enough interest or people that want to start a chapter but you still want to be a part of Normal. Well, you become a member of Normal for $35 as a regular annual membership. You get a little gold lapel pin. Russ has started thousands of conversations with that little pin and you can be part of the solution. You can do it today. So yeah. I urge you to please donate to Normal today.
And as I've decided just now, first person to TwitPic me a picture of their receipt, a screen capture, whatever, I will personally send you a gold lapel pin. And and if you want, I will seal that envelope with a kiss.
Love it. You can't beat that.
You know, I was going to say money can't buy that, but I guess it can.
It can.
Okay. Money can buy the affections of Ganja John. So get those screen caps happening.
Yeah. And that's at Ganja John. I guess I should mention that.
That's
at
right.
Ganja John, J-O-N.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, at Ganja John, at Radical Russ. Are you tweeting yet, Carrie?
God.
At USA Cannabis Cafe.
No.
No.
Keep me off Facebook. I'm with Stan Marsh on this one. But
right.
Listen, I know we're going a little bit long, but I wanted to give one more challenge out there to our listeners. I'm sorry, I can't get into the chat room today. I'm on a crappy netbook, so I can't do it. So I can't see how many people are listening today.
103 at the moment.
Okay, well, for you 103, I'll just challenge you directly from me to you. I want to say that if you know anybody in your life, or maybe you yourself, a brother, a sister, a parent, a friend, who has ever had to deal with a stupid marijuana possession ticket, donate $10 to Normal. We talked about if everybody who had ever been prosecuted spent $5 on Normal instead of thousands on lawyers, it'd be legal by now. It would be legal by now. So please give as generously as you can. If you can't, please still listen. We know that you all can't give. That's fine with us. We're not here for the money. We just want to keep this organization moving.
Absolutely. And we're working hard to do this. I will be flying down to Los Angeles for the THC Exposé.
First class, I'm sure.
No, I'm actually in the little dog crate. It's Southwest. They let you take two bags. And so I just fit into one of them. No, I'll be down there in LA staying at a cheap hotel, though. I'll tell you that. Cheap hotel on Figueroa. So check us out on the stream all 3 days. THC Exposé as soon as I can get the stream up and running. And we'll run it all day. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
here on
everyone
the show.
Who's donated. I love you. Thank you so much.
We really love you. THC Exposé this weekend, Friday through Sunday. I'll be on all 3 days. Also, check us out. Oh, a $12.60 donation on the chat room. Very nice. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.